Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Escaping the Housing Trap, The Strong Town's Response to the Housing Crisis is a nonfiction policy and urbanism book by Charles L. Marone Jr., written with Daniel Harridges, both associated with the Strong Towns movement. It examines a central contradiction in the modern U.S. housing market. Housing is treated both as a financial asset expected to appreciate and as basic shelter that must remain. Affordable. The authors argue that these two goals clash in practice, creating a trap where systems built to protect rising values can intensify scarcity and instability for households and communities. Using the Strong Towns lens, the book connects housing outcomes to local development patterns, land use rules, and the boom and bust dynamics that have shaped post-war growth. Rather than offering a single silver bullet, it aims to help readers see why familiar debates often talk past each other and how communities might pursue greater resilience. Affordability and stability through incremental, locally grounded changes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the housing trap asset logic versus shelter logic. A core contribution of the book is its framing of the housing crisis as a collision between two legitimate but incompatible expectations. As an investment, housing is supposed to rise in value over time, rewarding owners and anchoring household wealth. As shelter, housing must remain attainable, because increases in the price of basic shelter translate directly into stress, displacement risk, and constrained life choices. The authors describe this as a trap because policies and narratives often try to maximize both goals simultaneously, even though success in one domain can undermine the other. This framing helps explain why public discussions can become mutually incoherent, with finance-oriented conversations emphasizing appreciation, scarcity, and risk management, while housing-oriented conversations emphasize access, stability, and human need. By laying out the competing logics, the book encourages readers to recognize which goal a given policy is serving and what trade-offs it implies. The Strong Towns response does not deny the role of markets or ownership, but pushes communities to confront the tension honestly so that affordability is not treated as an accidental byproduct of an investment system. Secondly, how post-war development patterns feed boom and bust cycles. The book situates the housing crisis within the broader pattern of post-war American growth, where development has often been driven by large projects, rapid expansion, and financing structures that can reward short-term wins while leaving long-term obligations behind. In the Strong Towns worldview, communities can become dependent on continued growth and rising valuations to keep systems functioning, making them vulnerable when conditions change. Housing, under this model, is not just something people live in, but also a vehicle for capital flows that can remake neighborhoods quickly. The authors connect this environment to boom and bust dynamics that affect both prices and community stability. With surges of investment or construction followed by periods of stagnation, volatility, or political backlash, this perspective shifts attention from only counting units or blaming individual actors and instead asks how local incentives, risk allocation, and development norms can produce recurring instability. The practical implication is that stabilizing housing outcomes may require changing the underlying pattern of how places grow and how growth is financed, not only adjusting one program or one subsidy. Thirdly, zoning, neighborhood change, and the politics of scarcity. Marone and Harridges engage with land use rules and neighborhood-level politics as key mechanisms shaping supply, access, and who benefits from rising values. Zoning policy can restrict what kinds of homes are allowed and where, which can preserve existing patterns but also limit adaptation as households and demographics change. The book also addresses NIMBY dynamics, where resistance to change can be rooted in fear of traffic, aesthetics, or infrastructure strain, but also in a desire to protect property values tied to the investment view of housing. At the same time, the authors acknowledge that neighborhood change is not a purely technical issue. Rapid reinvestment can bring amenities and improved buildings, yet can also generate displacement pressure if the shelter function is not protected. The Strong Towns response emphasizes careful thinking about incremental change and local feedback, encouraging communities to weigh the real costs of enforced scarcity. Instead of treating zoning reform as a culture war slogan, the book frames it as part of reconciling investment-driven expectations with the need for stable, attainable housing options. Fourthly, two conversations that talk past each other, finance and housing. One of the book's most clarifying themes is that housing debates often split into two separate conversations with different assumptions, metrics, and moral intuitions. Finance-oriented participants focus on appreciation, risk, return, interest rates, and the stability of assets. Housing-oriented participants focus on rents, homelessness risk, overcrowding, and whether people can stay in their communities. When these perspectives collide, each side can interpret the other as naive or uncaring, even when both are reacting rationally within their own framework. The authors argue that this mutual incomprehension is not just rhetorical, but structural. Because many institutions and policy tools are built around protecting the asset function while expecting the shelter function to remain intact. By naming the split, the book gives readers a diagnostic tool for evaluating proposals, public meetings, and media narratives. It also sets up a central strong towns question: what would it mean to restore balance so that housing can serve as shelter without requiring perpetual asset inflation? And how can local decision-making become more coherent about which outcome it is prioritizing? Lastly, the strong towns response resilience through incremental local action. Rather than promising a universal fix, the book presents a strong towns response grounded in the idea that communities can opt out of destabilizing patterns by focusing on financial resilience and iterative improvement. In this approach, the emphasis is on small-scale, adaptable steps that reduce reliance on speculative cycles and allow neighborhoods to evolve in response to real demand. The authors present the response as a framework for thinking and acting locally, especially for planners, advocates, and civic leaders trying to navigate polarized debates. The goal is to shift from a system that depends on continual price escalation toward one that can deliver stable places and attainable housing over time. While the book discusses issues such as zoning and neighborhood investment, its distinctive emphasis is on changing how communities evaluate success, including how they understand long-term costs and the risks embedded in growth models. Readers looking for a checklist of immediate policy moves may find the guidance more conceptual than prescriptive. But the framework is designed to help communities make more realistic choices and avoid repeating patterns that intensify scarcity and volatility. In conclusion, Escaping the Housing Trap is best suited to readers who want a clearer mental model of why the housing crisis persists despite constant debate and frequent policy activity. Planners, local officials, housing advocates, realtors, homeowners, renters, and students of public policy will benefit from the book's central organizing insight. Housing policies often fail because they try to satisfy the investment function and the shelter function at the same time without acknowledging the trade-offs. The intellectual payoff is a stronger ability to diagnose arguments, spot when stakeholders are using incompatible definitions of success, and evaluate proposals based on what they actually optimize. The practical payoff is a framework for local decision-making that emphasizes resilience and stability, encouraging incremental changes that can reduce dependence on boom and bust development dynamics. Compared with books that focus narrowly on national macroeconomics, a single regulatory villain or a single technocratic solution, this one stands out for integrating land use politics, neighborhood change, and financial incentives into one coherent story aligned with the strong town's worldview. Even when it does not provide a step-by-step playbook, it offers a useful way to think, prioritize, and communicate about housing in a more grounded and less polarized manner. If you would like to support Charles L. Marone Jr., you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.